Session number 15478.
Morgan Griffiths, Real 5. You were just saying about how you fainted and what they said.
Yeah, I don't know whether it is I expect it is the lack of food and, of course, the extreme cold and getting a bit weaker. You know, it's the first time in my life, and it's the only time I've ever fainted. So I must have been in a bad state to have done that. And anyway, this chap said to me next door, you're all right, Griff, you're on your feet again now, so you'll be okay. Hang on a bit, we're on the move now. So I got over that. But I did make a break later on. I think we'd been on the march for about a fortnight or 3 weeks. And I was in some wood, a wood somewhere outside Ufort, that's right, a place called Ufort. It wasn't a town, it had been absolutely levelled by the RAF. It was just no buildings at all, no rubble. It had all been carted away into flat ground, a hole in the ground where people were living. It was absolutely flattened, just like Danzig, which we'd passed through a bit earlier on. And we got booed and stoned by the people there. That's the state we did. And a few days afterwards, we came through some town, and all the people there booed us on the side of the footpath. And yet a chappie, I remember, we altered slightly, and there's a fellow standing on the footpath with a coat on and a trilby hat, scarf around his neck. And he said to me, "It won't be long now, sonny." The sun be home. And of course, only a few weeks after was the war finished, didn't it? Anyway, I remember a woman pouring some, in the same town, a bit lower down the road, giving a drink to one of the posters, one of the guards on the road, and I held my mug out, and the guard hit me across the wrist with his rifle, knocked the mug out of me hand. So he said, "Drinks are for the guards, not for you scum." So I thought, oh well, here we are, they still like the sight of us. But the next, I think about 2 days after this, a Corporal Mackay, who was one of the members of one of our platoons, in HQ company, was walking by the side of me, and he said, "I'm off, Griff." He said, "What about coming?" I said, "No fear." He said, "There's a wood here." So I thought, right, okay, let's have a go. My picture on the up, you see. So it was getting dark, and we went. And we was away all night, actually, but of course we couldn't travel far because it was dark and trees. But next morning we started, and in about 10 minutes we were surrounded by three dogs. And the guard says, "Don't move," he says, "and they'll have you." Well, you know, the words that affect, stay where you are, see. So of course, we only been free for about 8 hours, and you got picked up again. That is the second and last time I attempted to get out. And we'd all picked up old sticks and as walking sticks to help us along the road. And about the last day of this march, we came to a big prisoner of war camp. That was Bat Soden. We had to throw all our sticks away and crawl into the camp, which we did. And we had to leave all our kit behind and march to the baths. To have a bath, the first time, as the first bath since the, I had three baths while I was a prisoner of war, that was all. That was from the September until the April. And all the clothes was put into a fumigator, and we got our clothes back again. But of course, they were so infested with lice that they couldn't kill all of them. So after about a couple of 3 hours, we had them on. We got all lice back on us again, on their bodies again. So the bat didn't do us a great deal of good. Then we had a issue of Red Cross parcels come. And the day after, we was all dying with dysentery and that, and I had to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, just getting dawn. We went to the latrines, and wasn't a sentry about anywhere. Not one sentry. So I went back in, I woke a couple of them up and said, all the sentries are gone. And of course we all got up, had a look, and there wasn't a sentry in the place. And about an hour afterwards, the gates pushed open, a big American tank come through. So you're free, boys. And in half an hour after that, American Red Cross girls came with donuts and things, the Red Cross vans, Naffy vans. Right up the front line they were. Never see a Naffy up the front line, did you? But they came and we were allowed one each, that's all, and a coffee each. But that's all they got there, that's all they could accommodate, you see. And the following day, we had ration, the same day, we had ration coming. They took all the right, cleared all the rubbish out, the bad rations which is there, and meat which really smelt. And we had a load of American rations come in. And then I think that was on the Monday or Tuesday. On the Wednesday, on the following day, we had a liaison, American liaison officer came in and all our names, and we was all put into groups, and he said, you all go down now, he said, to be fumigated, and then you'll be straight on the plane back home. And that's what happened. We went down and had a bath, all our clothes was taken away from us, and we was all given an American uniform to get us back home again. And lined up, and we got in the taken down to an airfield in the Dakotas, and flown back to I think in Oxford I came into. Anyway, we went into just outside Slough, somewhere outside Slough, that's where we came down. Little Missenden, that's right, Little Missenden. And we stayed the night there, and the next day the doctor came and inspected us, and he put me into hospital at Little Missenden Red Cross place. And I was there for 3 weeks, and then went on leave for 3 months.
What did the British do for you at Little Missenden?
They put me into hospital, as I say. We had wheels were all laid on, you know. Strangely enough, is rice pudding, which everybody liked, and soup and stew, you know. They couldn't eat solid stuff, they give us all this stuff, anyway. And I went into this place, and I was in there, I think, 3 weeks. I put on a bit of weight and came home on leave.
How long did it take you to get back to normal?
Well, I was 8'4" when I came home. And I put on a stone inside the week, 3 weeks before I went on leave. I was 7 stone, just about 7 stone when I was released. And I lost nearly 6 stone, actually.
In July 1945, there was that general election when Labour got all those seats.
1945, yes, that's right.
People say that the soldiers' votes played a big part in Labour getting that majority.
Sorry?
People say that the soldiers' votes played a big part in Labour getting that big majority.
Yeah, I think they did.
Why do you think that was?
Well, you see, I think in those days, I mean, say, we had a Conservative Party for quite a number of years. And then, of course, the party during the war was, what do you call?
Coalition.
Coalition. That's right. And I think that a majority of people thought that if we get another Conservative Party in, which will be in the same state as it was before the war started, which was pretty grim in a way. I never suffered from it because, we had a farm and I was in the army most of the time, so there we are. But
do you think the army felt any different politically from the civilians?
No, I don't think so. Of course, pay got better in the army. I must admit, pay did rise quite substantially
during the war.
Yes, when I first joined the army, it was 2 shillings a day. That was in 1928, 1930. It was 2 shillings a day as a private soldier. And out of that 2 shillings a day, you 14 shillings a week. Well, you was paid. Some was paid 7 to 6 a week. Well, I'm talking now in old money, of course, 7 to 6 a week, and the rest was cut into your credits, as you might say. But of course, out of that 7 to 6, you had to buy all your policy kit. And in the Guards, it is more so than ordinary soldier because you had white clay to buy, clay to buy, awards and then things like that, you see. And all the white buff had to be polished up and everything. And yet, we always managed to find 6 months for a pint of beer. I say 6 months, that's it, what, 5 pence and 6 months, you know. And a cup of tea and a naffy was a penny. Most cakes was a penny or something. A big double-decker biscuit, which is about as big as a saucer, tea saucer, was tuppence. Which today would be, what, about 30p, I suppose, or more. I would say you all had enough after every 6 months to go on leave. But of course, every time you everyone tried to get extra pay, what I call proficiency pay, by getting different badges. I was a marksman, battalion marksman. That is across. Cross rifles and crown, you see, so which bought you an extra 6 months a day on top of that. Also a machine gun, which bought you another 3 months a day. And I got my Army First Class Certificate of Education, which put another shilling a day on this. In that Army First Class, you see, I was about the highest. You could get the special education, which special certificate of education, which is about the top you could get. And not many didn't get that, but not did. Actually, I failed on one-act plays of such thing, of all things. When I say one-act plays, Campbell of Kilmore and The Eve of Waterloo. You read these books and you have to write a terrific essay after them. And I failed on the Campbell of Kilmore one. Of all things. Yeah. Although I got 80% marks for the rest. But I didn't get me 2 shillings a day extra.